الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host or your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program or this Islamic studies class is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students to the class, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic will be on taking care of the orphans, because right now in the news is heavy about Afghanistan and United States leaving Afghanistan after 20 years of being there. And a lot of the people, the Afghani people, those who help them, those who not help the United States, they gave their children up for a better life here in the United States. Or children may have just left their family and went on their own, what you call unaccompanied minors. Or they left their family, I guess maybe with a promise that they would look after them when they get to America and get established and send them money and that kind of thing. Allah knows best what was said and what was agreed upon and what action was taken to people there in particular. And then we have this in America and other places in the world. We have children that are in need of someone to take care of them. And so we're going to look at orphans today. We have orphan is a child deprived by the death of one or both parents, a young animal that has lost its mother. So that's basically some of the basic definition of orphan. When animals, they lose their mother, they're considered orphans. And the general meaning of orphan is a child deprived by death of one or both of their parents. Now, the Islamic definition of an orphan is a minor who has lost his or her father. So if a person lost their father, they're considered an orphan. Now, I want you to open up your Quran and turn to chapter 93, verse 6. Again, chapter 93, verse number 6. And it says, "Did we not find you an orphan and gave you shelter?" So what does it mean? Who is Allah talking to when he said, "Did we not find you an orphan and gave you shelter?" He's talking about Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, the last prophet sent to mankind, and he's a mercy to mankind, all of mankind. Not just one area where he rose from or was raised, but for all of mankind, and from his time until the day of judgment, he is embodiment of what we should be and what we should be about. And Allah says directly to him, "Did he not find you an orphan," meaning the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, "and gave you shelter?" Let me give you a little history about that. There is the case of orphan, literally and figuratively. Our holy prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, was himself an orphan. His father, Abdullah, died young before the child was born, leaving a little property, meaning the child, meaning Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. The prophet's mother, Amina, was in ailing health, and he was chiefly brought up by his nurse. They call him wet nurse sometimes. His nurse, Halima. His mother herself died when he was only 6 years old. his aged grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, treated him as his own son, but died 2 years later. Therefore, his uncle, Abu Talib, treated him as his own son. He was thus an orphan in more sense than one. And yet the love he received from each one of these persons was greater than ordinary parental love. Now let's turn again to chapter 93, verse 9. Again, chapter 93, verse 9, where it says, "Therefore, do not treat the orphan with harshness." This is Allah's warning to us human beings. "Therefore, do not treat the orphan with harshness." And then it further said in another, because what happened, we're going to get into this a little later on more, and what happened is that during it back in that time, a lot of, and people may be still to do it now, children that don't belong to them, they would treat them a certain way, in a bad way. And so Allah addressed it. He said, "Therefore, do not treat the orphans in a bad way." For example, if I married a woman, she had children, I wouldn't do this though. She had the children, and I would treat her children in a bad way. I would treat them really, really bad. Therefore, so you have another verse where Allah says in chapter 6, verse 152. Again, chapter 6, verse 152. And Allah says, "Therefore, do not go near the property of an orphan except in the best way," meaning to improve it, "until he attains maturity. Give full measure and just weight." We never charge a soul with more than it can bear. Whenever you speak, be just. Even if it affects you, your relatives, and fulfill your covenant with Allah. There are the things which He has enjoined on you so that you might be mindful. So Allah has given us instructions, each and every one of us, and He tells us how to treat the orphans, to be just with them, and give them good a measure, a full measure. And if you're going to do anything with their wealth or with their money, what belongs to them, then just do it to improve it, not to take away from it. And Allah does not place a burden that we cannot bear. Now we're going to go to chapter 4, verse 3. Again, chapter 4. Verse number 3, and Allah said, "If you fear that you shall not be able to treat the orphans with fairness, then you should not marry the women with orphan children." So again, as I mentioned before, I'm going to marry a woman, I'm going to treat her children bad, I should not marry her. And that's what it says here. If I can't treat her with fairness, don't marry them. It's better for me just to leave them alone and look for a woman that more than likely do not have any children. Allah also says in the same chapter, a different verse, this is going to be chapter 4, verse 36. Again, chapter 4, verse 36. And it says, "Serve Allah and do not commit shirk," meaning associating partners with Allah. Associating partners with him, which is Allah. "And be good to your parents, kinfolks, orphans, the helpless, near and far neighbors who keep company with you, the traveler in need, and the slaves you own. Allah does not love those who are arrogant and boastful." So Allah instructs us the things not to do. To do shirk, meaning associate partners with Allah, and be good to our parents, and to our kinfolk, and to the orphan, and the helpless, and those and our neighbors, near and far neighbors to us, and the travelers, those who people are just stranded travelers, and the slaves. It was mentioned by the Prophet, may peace and blessing be upon him. He said in reference to the orphan, please, please, please pay very attention to this. It's very important. He said, "I and the patron of an orphan are as close in paradise," while waving his index at his middle finger and like putting them together. And you take your sort of your pointy finger, some kind they call it, your middle finger, and put them together. And he mentioned about this. He said he also, in that how close you would be in paradise. He also said that the best house in the Muslim houses is the one with an orphan being treated well in it. So you want to have the best house? Then you bring an orphan in there and you take care of the orphan. As I'm not going to reveal, I'm going to tell you this too. Aisha Radhi Anha, who was the prophet's wife, and she took care of her brother's children. Her brother died, and she took care of his children. She brought those children into her house and took care of those children, which means that the house of the prophet, peace be upon him, it was what? It was one of those beautiful, one of those blessed houses with those orphan children inside of it. It is also mentioned by Ibn Umar, reported that Allah, Messenger, may peace and blessings be upon him, as saying, a Muslim is a Muslim's brother. He does not wrong him. If anyone cares for his brother's needs, Allah will take care of his need. If anyone relieves his brother's anxiety, Allah will remove from him in him one of his anxieties on the day of resurrection. And if anyone conceals a Muslim's secrets, Allah will conceal his secrets on the day of resurrection. That's going to be a day when we all before Allah, naked and circumcised, and we can't do anything, can't say anything, because our deeds will speak for us. Our tongue and our body parts will speak against us, will speak for us or against us. And so if we want the anxiety to be removed from us, then we be this person. The person he said that what? That he cares for his brother, meaning okay, and his sister too. So we want to relieve them of their anxiety, Allah relieve us of our anxiety. We keep their secrets, Allah will keep our secrets on the day of judgment when we stand before Allah, naked and uncircumcised. It is also mentioned by Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira, he was one of the prophets. He was, alhamdulillah, he was a very good guy. He was poor. He took care of the animals and the camels and sung to the camels, that kind of thing. And he always carried a cat around with him, stroking the cat, taking care of the cat. He was one of memorized more hadith or more sayings of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. And he also was what? He also, like the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he was an orphan. Abu Huraira reported that Allah's Messenger, peace and blessings be upon him, as saying, the best house among the Muslim is one where an orphan is well treated. The worst house among the Muslim is one where an orphan is badly treated. So you want to have the best house, you have an orphan in there, and you treat them well. You don't want to have the best house, have an orphan in it, treat them badly. This is having the worst of the houses amongst the people. Also, it was mentioned from the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. He said, if anyone caresses an orphan by moving his fingers in his hair, doing so only for Allah's sake, he will have blessings for every hair over which his hand passes. And if anyone treats well the orphan girl or boy under his care, he and I shall be like these two fingers, putting two fingers together. I mentioned before that sort of that pointer finger and the middle finger together, and say that we will be like that inside of Jannah with the Prophet, may peace be upon him, because we treated them so well. Just simply rubbing our hair at night, rubbing through their heads in a tender way and stroking their hair. And with every hair that we get past or we run through our fingers, that we get the blessing from Allah for just doing just that simple act. The Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, he always loved the children, the orphans. And he would play with them, he would joke with them, and that kind of thing with them. And he would do this as an example for others to follow, and this is what he loves to do. And please don't think like a negative way in terms of Prophet and being with children. He's just a man, a beautiful man that had a beautiful, soft and kind heart and very merciful. He was merciful to the old, to the young, to everyone that he come in contact with, even his enemy. He was still merciful and kind towards them. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he also said, again, basically saying what I said earlier, I and the person who looks after an orphan and provides for him will be in paradise like this, putting his index and his middle fingers together. And so I'm basically reading the same thing to you all. And a man once came to the message of love and peace be upon him, and he complained that he feels hardness in his heart. The messenger made peace and blessing upon him. He said, "Would you like that your heart become soft and that you acquire what you need? Be merciful with the orphan. Pat his head and feed him with what you eat. This will soften your heart and enable you to get what you want." So you want a certain thing? You want to soften your heart if you're a hard-hearted person? Then you get an orphan and you feed him what you eat. Not scraps, just what you eat, you feed them. How you dress yourself, you do the same thing, and you will have that softened heart that the prophet made peace and blessing upon had mentioned. Now, what happens to a person when they neglect an orphan? Let me talk about that for a moment. Have you seen the one, and this is going to come, I don't have a verse here for you, so I'm just going to go ahead and read it because of time and all. So I'm going to go ahead and read it. Have you seen the one who rejects the true spirit of religion? That is he who repels the orphan and does not advocate for the feeding of the very poor. Woe to you, worshippers, those who pray yet are heedless, who only pray to be seen by men, but neglect even neighborly needs. I'm going to read further on this one, and this one's going to come from verse 17. Chapter 17, verse 34 and 35. It's a little bit lengthy, but I'm going to read it. I just read everything in English and not in Arabic because of time constraints of this particular recording. Is it not piety that you turn your faces to the east and to the west? True piety is this: to believe in Allah and the last day, the angels, the book, the prophets, to give of your one substance. However, cherisher to kinsmen, and orphans and the needy, the traveler, the beggar, and to ransom the slave, to perform the prayer, to pay your alms, and they who fulfill their covenant have engaged in a covenant, and endure what is fortitude, misfortune, hardship and peril. These are they who are true in their faith. Thus are the truly God fearing. Sorry, I'm a little rough, but it basically saying here, and I don't have to read it all to you again, so you pretty much get it. You can always read it for yourself in chapter 17, verse 34 and 35. So I won't go over it again because we just went through it. I'm going to go on to the next verse, which and chapter, which is chapter 6, verse 153. Again, chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 1-5-2. Again, chapter 6, verse 1-5-2. And it says, "Come not naught to the orphan's property, except to improve it, until he attains the age of full strength, and fulfill every engagement. Every engagement will be inquired into on a day of resurrection. Give full measure with what you measure, and weight with a balance what is straight. That is the most fitting and most advantageous in the final determination." Again, that's verse 6. That's chapter 6. I'm sorry, verse 152. Now let's go to chapter 4. Verse 10. Again, chapter 4, verse 10, where Allah gives this warning. I want to also mention that how the Prophet ﷺ, he had mentioned that it's like the taking care of the orphan be almost like a kind of a shield, like a khibar, a shield between the person taking orphan in hellfire. So you want to avoid the hellfire, have that shield, you take in the orphan. Now we're going to read here in chapter 4, verse 10, something a little bit opposite of that. That is, those who unjustly eat up the property of orphans, eat up a fire into their own bodies. They will soon be enduring a blazing fire. So again, this is in chapter 4, verse 10. Those who unjustly eat up the property of orphans and eat up a fire into their bodies or into their own bodies, they will soon be enduring a blazing fire. The Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. I reread that. And so I want you all to please keep in mind some of the things I mentioned to you regarding the blazing fire, and another sort of translation of this particular verse I just read, which is again is chapter 4 verse 10. Again, chapter 4 verse 10. And basically what it's saying is that those who misappropriate the property of the orphans unjustly swallows but fire into their bellies. They will soon be cast into a blazing fire. So it makes it a little bit more plain than what I read before. What I read before was, those who unjustly eat up the property of orphans, eat up a fire into their own bodies, they will soon be enduring a blazing fire. But it's given to you plain. In fact, those who misappropriate the property of the orphan unjustly swallows but fire into their bellies. They will soon be cast into the blazing fire. And so, my beautiful students, I hope that you pretty much get what I'm saying when it comes to orphans. When it comes to taking care of those who are orphaned. Remember what I said, who's an orphan is from an Islamic standpoint? That means that they lost their father. The father is dead. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his father died before and left a little property, and he died before the Prophet was born. And then his mother died not long after that. And then his grandfather died not long after that, 2 years later. After taking care of him for a while, and then Abu Talib, his uncle, took care of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. And both his uncle and his grandfather raised him as their own son, care for him as their own son. Even if the nurse was also the Halima, the wet nurse, they sometimes call him. She took care of Prophet Muhammad in a very beautiful way and raised him well and taught him well. And so I want us to keep all these things in mind, and also to keep in mind that when we touch the property of the orphan, it's their property. Now, if you're going to touch it to improve upon it, as I read earlier, yeah, okay, go ahead and do so, no problem. You're encouraged to do so, to improve upon their property, but to just take from it and take and take and take, that's a problem. Or that you're going to not feed them well. You're going to feed them some scraps or what's left over from your plate, or some bone with a little bit of meat on it. That's not treating them well. And as I said earlier, if you can't treat them fairly, again, don't marry the woman. Marry some other woman. If a woman have orphan children, and you know you're not going to treat them well, you're going to treat them in a bad way, in a cruel way, then instead of them going through it, the mother going through it and putting in the middle of it, and you doing whatever you're going to do towards those children, the children going through it, then don't marry that one woman at all. It's not best for you to do. Ask the Lord to soften your heart, and that you'll be able to treat those children in the best way. They're orphans. You get so many blessings, as I mentioned before, pertaining to orphan, running your hand through the head, patting the head. You be on the day of judgment, in the paradise, you'll be next to the Prophet, and peace be upon him, like two fingers together, that close. And that's what the prophet said. He said that the one who takes care of the orphan is the one that's going to be close to me in paradise. And so I wanted us to keep it in mind. And of course, the worst house is the one where the orphans are treated badly. But the best house is the one where what? Where the orphan is treated very, 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 very well. The Abu Huraira, he was an orphan. The one that I remember as probably the most hadith from the prophet, what the prophet said or did, that kind of thing. I think he's up to like 5,000, I'm sorry. And then you have others that memorized too, but he memorized the most that he was orphan. The prophet, he was orphan. What you call Imam Bukhari was one of the great scholars of Islam. He was also an orphan. And so Islam also raises up the orphans. Abu Huraira, he was raised up amongst the prophet, amongst the companions of the prophet, and leadership position, and a man that the people went to. They went to him if they wanted to know about the deen and wanted to know about Islam. They went to him and asked him different things about Islam, and he would say it. What Islam said, what the prophet said, that kind of thing. And they went to this man, kind of raised his status up instead of being just an orphan and nothingness you don't have a father and mother, so you're nothing. No. Because he didn't have a father, he was an orphan, but he was raised up in his status. And a lot of, if you want to read more about Islam, you can find out a lot of the Sahaba, which is companions of the prophet, they were orphaned. But they were raised up in various status and various positions amongst the people during that time. And so I want you all to please keep these things in mind, and please be merciful. You want to have a soft heart, then what? You get an orphan and you feed them well, and that will soften one's heart and get you what you want and what you need and what you desire just merely doing those things, and not taking the orphan property and doing wrong by the orphan property. Do whatever you want with it, or being unjust with them. And again, as I mentioned before, I'm going to end with this. And pertaining to those two last verses, the verse that I read, then I sort of put more emphasis in it. That was chapter 4, verse number 10. Again, chapter 4, verse number 10, where it says, "Those who unjustly eat up the property of orphans eat up a fire into their bodies. They will soon be enduring a blazing fire." And put it more plainly, I'm going to end with this. In fact, those who misappropriate the property of orphans unjustly swallow but fire into their bellies. They will soon be cast into the blazing fire. If you want more information about orphans in Islam, you can always go and learn more information about learn more about Islam. Go to your neighborhood masjid, that's a place of worship where we pray, and go there, and they should be able to answer your questions for you. You can Google it, or whatever way you get your information, you can do that and find out where the nearest masjid is. Also, you can go to the International University, International Online University. This is a great program to have there. You get a certificate, you get a diploma there, you get a bachelor's degree, you can get a master's degree, you get your doctorate degree at this particular university, which is International Online University. May Allah bless Dr. Bilal Phillips for putting this program together. You don't pay tuition. You just pay, all you're doing is paying for it with them is a fee. That's all that you pay. And most of the books are online, so it doesn't cost much to pay. And it depends on where you live. You live in the United States, you may pay more. But you live in another country, that poor country, that you may pay less. So it may vary. And then you have the American Open University, and you can go to them too and get a degree, for a bachelor's degree or a PhD from this university, Islamic University, if you want to learn more about this beautiful faith called Islam. You have been attending the Islamic Faith in Focus class, and I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.